Hello and welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. Another episode coming at you right now. The only podcast that's funny for everyone. We get to hang out with Dry Bar comedians and me and Taylor together.
That's right. You, Jordan Macon, and myself, Taylor Nielsen.
Taylor, I've been meaning to ask you, man. Do you think you're a good person?
I was thinking about this in the shower today, actually.
Yeah, what do you think?
I was thinking, how come I don't care about people? And that was, you know, and so viewers,
I thought you were going to say yes, and I was just going to agree with you.
No, I think I'm a good person. I try, and you know, how about you?
I think you're a good person. Yeah,
you meant for this to be a bit, but
but it got really real.
Yeah,
for a
I'm
second.
Getting real introspective on it.
I think you're a good person. I think you could be a better person. But I don't think you're a bad person.
Let me know if you have any notes, Jordan. I'd love to hear them. No, seriously.
I think we all could be better people.
Even you.
Especially me.
Even especially you. But now we can agree on that.
We can.
This is some good, some good energy right off the top.
I thought it was just to be a funny bit where you say yes, and I said, I think so too.
No, we got to get to our guest. And we're leaving all that in because, like our guest, we're truth tellers.
We're truth tellers.
So let's jump to the clip and see who our wonderful guest is going to be.
Like Aaron said, my name is Spence, and it is just Spence. Like, I'm not a Spencer. I'm not trying to be uptight about it. Like, I'm not some obnoxious person who's like, I've now become a nomenclature minimalist. Please respect my values and just call me Spence. Also, I don't eat gluten. Like, I'm not that person. I hate that person. So annoying. No, it's my parents really did. They named me just Spence. Like, they wanted that to be one of my battles in life, I guess, just being Spence instead of Spencer. They did make my middle initial R, though, just to make it super confusing.
Okay, folks. You saw that hilarious clip. Give it up for our guest today, Spence Roper.
Welcome, Spence.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
So, word on the street is it's just Spence.
I'm glad it's out there. I'm glad it's out there because that's really the reason I got into comedy was to clear this up. I'm like, how can I tell as many people as possible, like 5 to 7 at a time? how can I get this message out?
So much that you named your Dry Bar special just Spence.
Yeah.
We were doing research before the show, trying to find other famous Spences.
Yeah, we're going to do a segment where we list all the famous Spences.
It won't even let you Google it. Only Spencers come up.
Yeah. I had a funny... I mean, it wasn't funny for them, but I was amused by it. I was at Wendy's, and I'm not trying to flex. I'm just telling you, that happened to be where I was at. Wow. Wendy's for lunch.
Whoa, drive-thru or dine-in?
Dine in.
Yeah. Man, how'd you get a table?
This guy's got time to burn because he's doing well. So, I like your order is lunch, so it's kind of busy, you know, and they just take your name and call your name when your food's ready. Well, so the kid calls my name Spence, and immediately I see this manager come up on him, and he's like, "Hey." Like, we don't abbreviate people's names. Like, you need to say his full name. Like, that's kind of impolite for you to say that. This you know, the Wendy's lunch manager. This is real. Like, coming in hot on this kid. And so I was like, I came up and he's like, no, I told him Spence. He's like, okay, well, it's just important that we respect all our customers. I'm like, well, then you should call me Spence, please. This bit doesn't need to get longer, Mr. Wendy's lunch manager. Are you even the actual manager? Chill out, this kid.
Maybe that kid was notorious for giving people like nicknames. People came, like, if he came through and it was me. It's like, I got a Jordy here. Got a Jordy. Meal for Jordy.
That was the last straw. He's like,
yeah.
Okay, Jordy, there was, you called that guy Tano. His name was Taylor Nielsen. How dare you?
Tano.
Tano's cool.
I like that. Yeah, I've been searching for a nickname.
Tano just dropped some new bars, new diss track from Tano. Tano,
man.
Oh, by the way, that's the thing that Jordan and I were talking about earlier about how you could be a better person. Less diss tracks.
Less diss tracks.
Yeah.
Well, if people would stop disrespecting me, we wouldn't have that problem.
You know what? Yeah. You know what my mom always taught me? Diss tracks distract.
It's
wow. That's from what's inside. From what's from important. The pain inside.
Yeah.
But that is cross stitched on a pillow, in his room.
In his room.
In your room, Jordan. I've seen in your room.
In my room.
I was going to tell you.
When were you in my room?
It was a mistake, and I regret it. Okay. Okay. And I saw that, and I was like, I'll bet Jordan's mom has other good things to tell me if I would shape up and not be looking
at. She has some pillows she could give you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some motivational pillows.
Do you know what? I need a pillow that warns people about eating cookies and poor lighting. That's what I've. That's the way I've gone.
Oh, this. Will you please elaborate?
Well, it's. Oh, you know, I'm really upset with raisins tricking me into eating them using mostly poor lighting situations.
Because
you think it's a chocolate chip situation. You rush in there.
Now, hey, Spence, you've got a bit about your kids being picky eaters, but from the sound of it, you might be one too.
Yeah.
That's not a diss track. That's just a diss.
Okay. That's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. And this is where the confusion comes in. Because I like raisins. I like raisins. I would eat a raisin. I would eat a raisin in front of both of you right now.
Look into the camera and tell me you like.
I like raisins.
Like a YouTube apology video.
I like them.
I have lots of friends that are raisins.
Some of my best friends are raisins. But they're the raisins. They're the good guys. I like raisins. But what I don't like is deceit. I don't like fraud. I don't like being tricked. I like to eat raisins. I like to have consented to eat a raisin before I eat it. I don't want to think I'm eating a chocolate chip and then, ha ha, we tricked you. That's what I don't like.
So if you met a cookie and the cookie was like, full transparency, I'm a raisin cookie, would you eat that cookie?
I would say, thank you.
A talking cookie first. Yeah. This is a talking cookie.
It's a sentient.
You'd still eat that cookie.
Oh, well, he's not telling me about his raisins because he wants
me
to
not. He has
little
legs and a top hat.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not telling me that he has raisins because he wants me to not eat him. Okay. He's letting me know he has raisins, and so if I choose to eat him, that's the situation. If he was trying to be sneaky, if it was a chocolate chip cookie, say, I got raisins. Like, no, you don't.
You don't want me to eat you.
I see. This is a new ethical quandary for me, but I'm going to get you, cookie.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like you're prepared for any situation.
I'm not. There are situations.
What's your top three situations you're not prepared for?
I'm not prepared for. All things, well.
Okay, number one.
My wife asking me where I've been.
The answer is not always Wendy's.
It was for a while, but she's like, you do not go to Wendy's.
She says, who's Wendy?
And I was like, you know who she is. She's a corporation, and legally she is a person. Right now, she has legal rights like that a human individual would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's able to support candidates politically. So,
are you and Wendy's politically aligned? Or?
You know what? I don't have any strong political views. So,
what's Wendy's stance on raisins, Spence?
They are available at Wendy's.
Are
but
they?
With disclosure. They're like, these are raisin cookies. You are choosing raisin cookies. They're on a separate, they're on a slot by themselves, not with others. So you don't.
Untouched.
I mean, it would appear to me that is the case, but as I have been going a little hard on raisins lately. And,
explain going hard on raisins.
Just coming out with my disdain for really just being tricked by cookies with raisins in them. And there's no better way to find out how many people love raisin cookies the most, like that's their favorite cookie, than just to mention that. And they're like, some of the things you said were okay, but I did like the raisin cookie joke. I love raisin cookies, though. That was an all right one.
So an audience member comes up to you. They say, I didn't appreciate. It was funny.
They throw shade on everything. It. And then they're like, I kind of like this, but I love raisin cookies.
Yeah.
Can I give you my opinion on this?
No, thanks.
Well, we knew Jordan wasn't really giving us an option out.
No, thank you.
Well, let me give it anyway. Go. And then we can, you know.
All right. As long as I get to give mine, too.
Well, we'll see what we have time for. I think you're putting a lot of blame on raisins when cookies are the ones harboring terrorists. Other foods don't do it. You don't go to Wendy's and order a JBC and the patty's made of raisins.
Okay. So the raisins aren't doing the deceiving. The
raisins are refugees.
This is a new conspiracy. This is a conspiracy theory, and I've heard this. That actually the cookies are the ones harboring the raisins, but the cookies are also victims. Also victims.
Wow.
How so?
Well, because they're like, it's like, what do I have? Am I a chocolate chip? Am I a raisin? And the raisin's like, you know what you are. Like, no, I wanted to be eaten like my chocolate chip friends. Like,
so Cookie's goal is to be eaten. They want to be eaten, in your estimation.
Yes.
What other purpose could they serve, Jordan?
I thought this was a comedy podcast. I didn't know we were going to be so ridiculous. Like, a cookie's goal? Yeah. A cookie's goal is to become president of the United States, Jordan? Oh, my gosh.
Just asking questions. Get out of here. I'm doing my research here. I'm asking questions.
Man.
Now, what I think about a cookie... Here's where I come
left
field. You got raisin cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
No, thank you. Not for me.
Not for you. But it's not just a raisin cookie. You've never had something called a raisin cookie before. What have you had? What's it called? What's the other major ingredient?
Well, when I was young, we didn't have a lot of money, so we get those little raisin boxes that are about this big.
Yeah.
And you'd pour it all out and you just kind of mash them together.
Oh, yeah. The cardboard raisin cookie.
Make a nice little raisin cookie. Yeah.
But there's another component. You know what I'm alluding to?
I know exactly where it's going.
Are you a type of meal? Is this a type of meal?
And traditionally oats.
Oats, yeah, okay, yes. I am familiar with this as an ingredient from time to time.
Oats? You didn't have cornmeal raisin cookies?
That's what I'm more familiar with. Yeah. But I've heard of these oat. How do you say it? Oat?
Oatmeal.
Oat?
Oat. Oatmeal.
Where is it from?
I believe it originated in the Midwest or Pennsylvania. Now, it might be one of those two.
Or maybe the West.
But here's the thing. You never had just a plain raisin cookie. The oatmeal's always there. So can you safely assume if you get a cookie that's made of oatmeal, is it a raisin cookie? Is this what you're talking about here? When an oatmeal raisin cookie is parading around with chocolate instead of raisins. Is that what you're expecting?
He thinks he's getting me, but I'm about to get him.
Okay.
No.
Huh?
That's it. That's the final answer. Settled.
Well, this has been a great podcast. Do you have any other questions for me?
Wow.
I think you asked me a question and I didn't answer it. I just I non sequitured into, you know what dried fruit I hate the most?
Where did that all come from?
Well, I think we were trying to, word on the street is that you have some hot takes about picky eaters. And then,
I accused you. I tried to gotcha.
That is my hottest take for sure. But really, it's just a reflection on me. I know it's.
Are you a picky eater?
No, I enjoy all foods, and I appreciate the people who take time to make food for me, and I would never dare disrespect a person by saying, oh, did you add onions to this? No, thank you. Oh, did you kill an animal for this? I'm a vegetarian. No, thank you. Shut up!
Spence, you're like some sort of vigilante.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I seek justice. No, I as someone with children, I have from time to time had my time taken from me by people who are like, I'm hungry, and like because I'm their father. Like there's I'm responsible for addressing that, and boy. You can just, maybe something's going great. Like maybe I'm crushing it on an important project that isn't a video game. And then I have to stop that and then make them some food because I understand that that is typically a responsibility that a parent has. And then they're like, I don't like this. And it's something that, like everyone likes. You don't like tater tots. You don't like ramen noodles with hot sauce on it. That's what we had.
More examples.
You know, like.
More examples, please.
Yeah.
You don't like corn. You don't like peas. You don't like this canned peas, carrots, and... What's the other one in there? Oh, canned peas, carrots, and corn with this weird, like, buttery, watery thing on it that I briefly heated in the microwave for you. You don't like this.
They don't like corn. They don't like
canned peas. Is this all one meal? Dad, what's for dinner? We got ramen with hot sauce, peas,
canned peas.
We got peas and canned peas.
Yeah.
Okay, look, first off, the ramen with hot sauce, that was playing to the comedy because I know what we're here for. But
is that you don't eat that?
Because kids don't eat.
I would because I'm not picky.
Honestly, what? I've never tried it, but it sounds kind of good.
Did you want to know the other two things I'm not prepared for?
Yes. Yeah.
I think we should
wait. Before we move on, Spence, there were two other things that you're not prepared for. What are they?
Tsunamis.
Okay. Well, we live in a landlocked state. So that makes sense. We really need to be prepared for those.
But I mean, if one of them rolled in, boy, I would be in a world of hurt.
Yeah.
I'd be in big trouble. It'd be like the only thing I can imagine worse is if there was a tsunami right when I got home and my wife was like, "Where have you been?" I was like, I'm
can
overwhelmed.
This not wait?
Yeah, yeah. That tsunami.
Yeah.
Number three.
The Jazz winning the championship. I'm not prepared for that. That's my number three that I'm not prepared for. Sometimes it alternates between two and three because sometimes I feel like I'd be more distraught. Like the Jazz won the championship? Ah! I'd call Jordan like, do we burn something? I feel good, but I don't know what to do. Is that the sound of rushing water outside?
Yeah, I would say I would be okay with the tsunami if the Jazz won a championship.
I would
deal with a tsunami if that could happen.
Yeah.
Throwing it out there.
Okay, here's a question. Would you tsunami Utah if it meant the Jazz could win the championship?
I have to tsunami it myself. Am I pulling in buckets of water? How much work is it?
No,
how would you send... Like do a cannonball? What do you
mean? No. Wow.
Oh, Taylor.
What?
You really are not a good person. It feels like you don't even want to be a good person right now.
You know what? I'm starting to like who I am.
Yeah. That's you know what I hear girls like? Bad boys. So
yeah.
I'm gonna let your wife know what you're up to.
You know what Taylor texts me all the time? He'll just randomly say, "Hey, are you planning on jumping in the Great Salt Lake today?" And I go, "No, why?" And he goes, "Oh, just wonder if I should prepare for a tsunami." He says that all the time.
That's just one of the many natural disaster weight-related jokes I make at Jordan's expense.
Oh, wow.
I've got 10.
You have 10?
I have 10. Actually.
And let's list them.
No. That is not true. And I would never sex someone that mean, something that mean.
You would never what?
I would never text someone that mean, something that mean, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, no, so here's the situation. The tsunami, like, you don't cause the tsunami through some bullying scenario that Taylor's created. But all of Utah, everyone who survives the tsunami knows, like, the reason the tsunami hit Utah was Jordan Macon.
I don't have to do anything.
No, but like, I get the blame. They know that you incited the tsunami.
Do I get to explain myself at all? Or is it just
I don't think at that point they're going to be very interested in listening to your explanation. After the destruction of a tsunami, like, you think they're going to want to hear it?
Just going to be walking into Wendy's with a hood on, man, sitting in the back corner, eating a chili all alone.
And the only guy who still works there calls you Jordy. Like,
and his boss doesn't even correct him.
Yeah, because he didn't make it through the tsunami. Whoa. That's what's sad about the scenario.
Well, you know, it's not the first wave you got to worry about with the tsunami. So it's the later one, the later Nami. That's the one that... that's seriously the most dangerous one.
Did you see what he did?
Mm-hmm.
Play it back, Jordan.
I know you picture tsunami being spelled T-S-U-N-A-M-I, but what if it was spelled S-O-O-N-A-M-I?
Imagine for a second.
It's a reference to time. This is I like how we're breaking this down. This is good.
It was good. I looked over at you and you went like this, and it was like you. Inspiration had struck you.
Like I was hit by a...
Yeah.
Although
it's coming from you, actually, it makes sense because Taylor has one of the greatest timepiece related jokes that I've ever heard personally.
That is a great joke.
It's really good.
Well, we should have Spence deliver it.
Mm-mm.
You want to deliver it from memory?
Give people the gist of the joke.
I would like Taylor to.
To camera?
Line.
Yeah, please.
Line.
Oh, okay. What is the first one?
Now, could we skip the part where you say all the F words? Because I'm actually not comfortable with that.
It's kind of integral to the joke.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Okay.
All right. No, I'll
next
try.
Thing.
I'll try.
That's right.
So I want to be a bad boy. We were talking about
that's
bad
right,
boys.
That's
earlier,
right. That's right. It's bad boy. Okay. I love this. Actually, I just want you to tell it. I really like it.
I want to be a bad boy. So I was looking up kind of what makes a bad boy. So I was looking at it, and this is kind of what I discovered. It's been a while since I told this joke. You know you're a bad boy when you walk into the watch store, find the biggest guy in there, you clock him in the face. Okay.
Later, Nami. That's why.
You. There's more. Do you want to hear the rest of it?
I'm sorry. That was a little sidebar to Jordan.
You walk into the Kool-Aid store... find the biggest guy in there, and you punch him in the face. Come on. you know you're a bad A when you walk into the math store, find the biggest guy in there, give him the old 1-2. Come on. But you guys know when you're the baddest boy of all?
When?
How? When you walk into the vape store, find the biggest guy in there, you grab him, you say, vaping leads to smoking, and I care about you too much to see you throw your life away. That's an important joke because we learned that kindness, that's what makes you the baddest boy of all.
That's so fantastic. Well done, Taylor.
And that's it.
Oh, the
wow.
Best.
Wow. Spence.
half an hour later, I didn't realize how long that joke is. That's a whole 5 minutes.
No, that was great.
That's
I enjoyed that.
That's a hallmark of a Spence Roper joke also. like he said, we'll like a part of this.
Spence, me and Taylor and the viewers at home, we're dying to know how you got into comedy. How'd that happen? I've known you a long time, but I don't know your inspiration.
I've always...
Hi, Taylor.
Just the way you said me and Taylor made me feel like we're
we should snuggle.
We're parental cat.
Oh. Yeah.
Figures. Anyways.
But also,
if you'd like to date our
the
daughter.
The way you said it, the way he said you said it, that made me think like, oh, this is kind of like an interview. It's like, so you're interested in working for the family business, but you're not family yet. Taylor and I would like would like you to answer a few questions. I always loved comedy. It, like some of my earliest, not my earliest memories, but I remember like my earliest memory is this time of my mom taking us to a park and we had these little plastic picnic baskets and she'd made us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and we were very excited to have these picnic baskets because like the lid kind of folded up on both sides. Like,
yeah, classic.
Yeah. Picnic. Anyways, that's my earliest memory. But
do you want to know mine?
Yes.
I ran into the living room and jumped on my couch.
But like,
that's it.
But you remember, like,
it's earthquake.
As a distinct one.
No! I set him up for that one.
I didn't hear what he said.
He said earthquake. I was a child, man. I was a little boy.
It was low magnitude.
But it was but he was jumping on the couch, so it'd be more like a volcano. It'd be like a lava flow, like because you don't want to jump on lava. The couch cushions are. Oh wait, the couch cushions are where you're safe. Never mind.
Can I use that tag, Spence?
Yeah, that's you know what. That's why you don't steal. And I stole from you and I paid a price.
Anyway.
I wasn't funny.
How'd you get into comedy?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like I never did. Based on what just happened, I don't think I've ever gotten into it. I've read about it. I've read some of the literature. Like, sounds like something I might want to try. I remember watching... I loved Saturday Night Live, and but it was on late enough, and I was 11, 12 when I started like watching it, and so it wasn't like I was out like running around, then got to get home so I could watch Saturday Night Live. Like I'd already been rolling several hours on the television by the time Saturday Night Live came on, I remember there was started with Star Trek: The Next Generation, love it, and then we had the
MASH.
Show. No, it wasn't. That's late. That's late, man. That's when MASH comes on. When you hear
MASH,
yeah. But no, when it's so growing up, like when you heard
that was turn off TV time for me.
Yeah, that's totally that honest. Means like you're still.
I know it's
up?
A great show, but. Turn that right off as soon as that music came
like
on.
What if
is that MASH theme MASH's theme song?
Yeah.
Like that's when mom or dad walks in to turn the TV off, and if you're still in there, they're like, Jordan, why are you still up? But it's
I don't know, I just didn't like MASH.
It's I never watched it because it was on so late and I knew I should be in bed.
That's true too.
Also, at that time the humor was not I was not the target demo. I watched it recently. I'm still not the target.
Weirdly, my little brother, that's like his favorite show.
Is that true?
He bought all the DVDs.
Really?
Yeah. Isaac, what's that about?
It's critically acclaimed.
It's a great show.
Have you seen the final episode?
No.
Okay. Well, this is a comedy podcast, so I don't want to talk about it, but...
It was all a dream.
Yeah.
The war.
Yeah, Vietnam, fake. You know what's real?
Found our real for this episode.
You know what's real? The shenanigans, raisins are pulling with cookies dark rooms.
Wait, did you ever answer how you got into comedy?
No.
The answer was not MASH, I'm pretty sure.
Well, so anyways, like, so there was this show called Comic Strip Live that... I believe it was recorded at the Laugh Factory in California and in Los Angeles. That's a city in California. Like, I don't know. how familiar you are.
Jordan spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, yeah. I knew
LAX.
Jordan.
LAX
I knew
Jordan. Is the airport.
Explains the earthquake.
Yeah.
So. All right. So.
I'll see you later.
There's going to be clips of this where they're like, this is what bullying looks like. Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. It's not funny.
But there's a show called Comic Strip Live.
We're all laughing.
Oh, so you actually you don't care about this?
Oh movie. No, I do care. No, I do care.
But
what do you? Any other comments I can get out, Jordan?
Me?
We're all laughing.
I'm trying to listen.
And the way you listen is by commenting a lot.
Okay.
Okay. Laugh Factory.
You were
Los
explaining
Angeles.
What Los Angeles was.
Yeah, please.
You
know,
this is good. This just shifted to. Like the six people who like the first part, now it's a six different people who are gonna like this old television schedule reference I have. But because Comic Strip Live came on, okay, look, so Comic Strip Live came on at 9 o'clock. Oh yeah, Star Trek: The Next Generation was 8. It went from 8 to 9 on Fox, okay. and then Comic Strip Live came on, and at this time, like that's the first time I ever saw Jeff Dunham. And I loved it. It was like a feature show. What we'd call a feature show now is probably six comedians, like 10 minutes. And I loved it. Like it would end, and I watched the first half an hour of Remington Steele, and then Saturday Night Live came on, and which I also loved. But the part that was always funny. Consistently, that I always laughed at, even little, was the comedians on Comic Strip Live. That was the thing I loved. Fast forward quite a few years, like I never stopped. I loved comedy, but there just wasn't. I live in Cache Valley, Utah, and are you from Cache Valley, Holland?
No, we had a big argument for about whether it was Cache Valley or Cache County, and I thought it was both.
Cache County is where Cache Valley is located.
But there's a place in Moab, near Moab, called Cache.
In Arches National Park, there is a Cache Valley.
Okay. Yep. That's where.
Yep. I didn't say that Cache Valley was the only Cache Valley in the country or even in the state.
There's more Cache Valleys than there are Spences, I think, in this world.
It could be.
Yeah.
I mean, based on the information we're working with right now, I think that's correct.
It could be. Are you willing to make a statement otherwise at this time?
I have the same information you have, so. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm going to pass out.
Okay. Right. So you.
It could be.
You live in Cache. You live in Cache Valley. And you have these memories of the comic strip show. And they're mulling around in your brain, and what happens next?
Well, so my access to, like, an open mic or anywhere to do comedy, like, it just didn't exist. Like, there was, like, I didn't even, the idea of an open mic was, I didn't really know that that was a thing that happened. And then a friend of mine named Trent Hunsaker, like, told me, hey, I'm going to this open mic that some of my friends are doing that's at this theater that another of those friends just, like, bought or is leasing and trying to make it be, like, a community hotspot, like a cool community hotspot. Like, if you want to be part of the community but you're not cool, this was not your hotspot. Okay. But
wait, could you explain that one more time?
Yeah, okay. So
no.
I know you said it like you're joking, but I could tell like you needed another example. So
you guys are so mean to me this episode.
So like, if there's a group of people who are, let's say, I'm just going to use the word cool, and they don't have a place to hang out. What this guy created was a place where they could go, like where they used to just be in like the Fred Meyer parking lot. Now they could go across the street to the old Redwood Theater and just hang out and be cool. Now, like, there's another group of people who are, and like, this wasn't for them.
That wasn't for them.
No.
What was your first joke?
So, my friend told me about this.
Come on.
I mean,
all right. Well, thanks.
No. I just know we're nearing.
I love this.
No. Back down. As much as I could be here all night. I just know we try to keep our episodes around an hour. And it's been.
Has it been about an hour?
It's been 50 minutes. We're just.
All right. Well, we've got 10 minutes left.
Didn't mean to be offensive. I just was.
I like how you adhere to a schedule with a military vigilance. It reminds me of this show I used to not watch called MASH. Set timer for 10 minutes.
What was your first joke? I am curious. I do want to know.
His first open mic was at the Redwood Theater.
For cool
only
people.
Cool people hang out.
And not cool people.
Well, I personally did not adhere to the cool people only. I'm like, why don't we let all kinds of people? What if not cool people came here, but then they experienced this and became cool?
Yeah.
How was that received?
You know, some of the cool people felt threatened. I'm like, well, what if some not cool people turned cool and were actually cooler than us? Which is, I think, what happened in my situation. I became the coolest person there.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and then that theater turned into like an archery shop, and now I think it's someone's Pinterest store. Like, they sell cute wood things, like signs that say things like family.
Family.
Which is a good thing. I'm not saying it isn't, but sometimes those signs that say family, and like, actually, your sign makes me not like that. I liked family right up until I saw your sign.
Sign.
I don't know if it's the font. I don't know if it's the font that's turning me on this idea of family.
Is it
or
cursive?
Oh, it's
kind
like
of,
a
kind of flowery cursive.
Yeah, like with those like rococo serifs. Like, no. Get out of
give
here.
Me a break.
You
give
don't.
Me a break.
Anyways,
rococo serifs, man.
So my first open mic, I went with my friend Trent Hutsaker, and that is where I met Mike Grover, a comedy. He was a staple. It was great. Ah, I miss Mike. And shout out Mike. And Josh Fonacalafi was there. He would come up from Ogden with another comedian who did. You knew Marty. You know Marty Archibald.
Oh,
you
yeah,
remember
Marty,
Marty
Archibald, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
He still messes me sometimes.
Yeah. It's. I'm sure that it's there. See, my texts that sometimes are apropos of nothing. Like seem like normal text compared to whatever Marty's shooting.
Do you two text each other? Because I imagine that is a interesting place to be. You and Marty texting each other.
This is me getting a text from Marty. Hey, I'm like, thumbs up, and that's the exchange. Wow. That's all Marty and I need. That's
you
all
must
we
be
need.
Good friends.
We are good friends.
That's all you need.
Because you know what? Sometimes friends don't need that blah, 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 blah,
right.
Each other's ears
that's
off.
That's what
sometimes.
I like about you, Spence. It's.
Go on, bad person. Let's hear it.
It's short. It's succinct.
You know what? Sometimes I'm sorting through a lot of ideas, Taylor. If, you know,
sometimes it's like you're just resorting one idea. Let's,
you know what? Let's pull up that message. This just became part of the podcast. You chose this. You chose this.
Is this the message that you sent me?
Let's review it because I don't. Okay. This is all right. You know what? I'm fine. Let's just say Who starts out their text with Spanish? I have no idea if you speak Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, yeah. I think I addressed that in there. Oh, I do. Yeah. Oye, aquí es mi número. Úselo. That's kind of a Spanish swear. I don't know if I can say that, Trevor.
It's all right.
It's úselo, Pluto. That's a good joke for people who love Disney and speak Spanish. They're like, hey, nice.
In space.
Yeah.
Pluto.
Planets and moons.
Mm, dumb. Don't bring the dorks in. No, I love space.
What happened to Redwood Theater, huh?
You changed, man.
I did actually. That was another thing. Hey, it was a fun place. I don't know why I said the cools and the lames. It was a really, there was a summer that was really fun, just hanging out doing open mics, and that's when it was from that summer that Marty and Josh convinced me to go down to Trolley Square. Mike had already been going because pretty funny guy. And I went down there, and like, fortunately, the open mics that I never would want anyone to see ever, and if there were video, I'd have to, look, murder is not okay, but sometimes you need to remove something because
you'd kill someone if they had an early tape of yours.
I didn't say I would kill them. I'm just saying that sometimes we need to leave everything on the table,
including murder.
Well, I mean, that's when I say everything. When I say everything, like, it's not everything asterisk. It's everything. So, yeah, but there's every. I think everyone has the open mic experience where you do like one open mic and you're like, "Woo, I am good at this," and then there's subsequent open mics where you're like, there's some things I could probably work on. There's probably some room for improvement. But you don't think that too much because you still think you're the best. It's a dark time. It's a dark time for every comedian. But anyways. It's like the second that there was an opportunity to go do it, as soon as I knew about it, I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. I want to do this. Let's do it. And like, I'd love to go back and see how well it was received. Cause like my perception of how well it was received like, ooh, okay. All right. Yeah. Just some ideas I had. I didn't mean to make everyone happier than they've ever been before. Like, that's, I have a suspicion if we could Christmas Carol it back in time with our Ghost of Comedy of Christmas body, Past, and all watch that together, we would probably.
Well, I feel like
agree that it's like, wow, you had a gift, Spence. That was amazing. I hope to never have to really review that. First joke though. My name is Spence.
Was it really? Was that really the first one?
We made it.
Wow.
Full circle. Wow. That has got to be one of the grandest journeys we've taken on this podcast. Thank you, Spence.
Spence, I hate to tell you, but you just made me the happiest I've ever been. Honestly, I laughed more on this episode than any other. What a joy.
Yeah,
it's funny because I think that you're not the only person who's felt that. There was this time in an old theater that's now
a Pinterest store that makes signs that say family is for raisins. And let's not try to make it a full callback, Jordan, okay?
Oh, hold on.
You're right.
This is where...
Let's not call back anything.
Did you want to end the episode this way?
We're going to end with a pop here. What do we got in there? What do we got in this?
All right, Spence and I were practicing before the show.
Were we?
In our pre-show interview.
Okay, viewers, if Jordan's going to attempt to throw this piece of pop tart into Spence's mouth, if it doesn't make it, we're podcasting for one full hour. One more full hour, you just got to sit through it.
Well, I would love that. You just incentivized me. You just incentivized me to throw them at.
No, no, no.
Do you know what I'd love? To force these two to be my friend for another hour and have there be video proof. Like, Spence, you got nobody. I'm like, well, what's this 2 hours of video for?
They willingly participated in. All right, here we go. Okay. No, this is if you. We're going to podcast for a full more hour if you make this, Spence. There's your incentive.
My palms are so sweaty.
Here we go. Oh.
All right.
That'll cancel be timer here for part two.
That'll be on our Patreon.
Cancel timer.
Spence, you've been an utter joy to have on this podcast.
I enjoyed answering none of your questions.
Is there anything you want to say to our fans, your fans, before we get out of here?
These being from Cache Valley, I am naturally inclined to hate all things Provo, but I don't. I love the Dry Bar shows. We have so much fun. I get 2 to 3 comments that are positive every time I'm here, and I love that. Because I'm around Jordan Taylor. Positive comments from those guys. Mean fellas.
I don't know if one nice thing was said about me this whole episode. Okay? I'm pretty sure you guys got some compliments.
I saw how Taylor was treating you, and it made me uncomfortable.
It made you sick, didn't it? No. Well, let's give you 2 more compliments.
Right now.
Taylor, you go first.
One each. Spence. You have an impressive vocabulary. I notice when you're speaking, you're able to use a lot of words in a lot of different ways. When you said apropos of nothing, I hadn't read that or heard that since I read Shakespeare in the 8th grade.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I
never experienced it until now.
That's interesting because I felt like you were denigrating me for being verbose earlier. Try again.
Wow. If you think I'm going to try and diss someone who's verbose like that, no. Yeah. I got no more word to say.
All right. Anyways, thank you for that compliment. I'm sorry I couldn't accept it like a mature adult and made a little comment. I'm working on that. Your compliment for me, Jordan?
There's just so many to choose from that I'd like to say that we don't have time for. But if I did have to choose one, I would say you did a really good job catching that in your mouth, man.
Thanks. You know,
do you want to compliment my throw?
Yeah, I was...
Oh, sorry. Wow. It didn't seem like you were going there, and I just wanted to give you a little nudge. You a little nudge.
Is it?
No. It's been...
Do you know what precedes every good catch? A good throw, I was going to say. I didn't realize that it also... That a good throw can come from a selfish narcissist.
Well, I can honestly say this has been
one of my favorite episodes.
I'm afraid we've been egregiously myopic on this podcast.
So myopic.
And
short-sighted.
He knows what it means. Right, okay.
you synonymed the heck out of that
the
word.
Heck out of it.
Do you know what I love? That Jordan loves books, but fancy ones.
Yeah.
The other day, Jordan and I were at the library reading fancy books together with big words.
Mm-hmm. Like you were reading Babe. And
I like what I like. Okay,
wait, isn't the library where dorks hang out?
Whoa! Yeah.
You know what? There are no dorks. When Jordan and I walk into the library, because now everybody's cool.
They all look cool. Way cooler than us. Yeah.
Fun fact about Jordan: did you know if he goes out in full sunlight, he dissolves into a pile of synonym sugar?
Oh boy. That joke is...
Only you diehard Jordan fans.
Only the diehard Jordan Macon fans will understand that one.
But they can see you. Like, they'll know why it's funny. Okay, I'm a bully too. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Taylor, you helped me realize that being a bully is fun, and I'm going to do it more.
There we go.
Thank you, Taylor.
That's what this podcast is about.
You really taught me something new. I was like, you know what's bad? Bullies. But you've shown me, you know what? I was wrong about bullies.
As long as the bullies outnumber the victims. That's what's important.
If there's a fight, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Should we sign off this episode yet?
Yeah, I think we should. Guys, this has been a very unique episode of the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. Make sure to watch Spence's special.
Just Spence. That's the name of the special I was adding to it. You didn't say it wrong. You're saying the name of the special. That would have been him.
You're getting pretty familiar with me there, pal.
On drybarcomedy.com. And then go over to angel.com because you can watch comedy specials there for free as well.
Very cool.
So Jordan's got a special on there. Two specials? How many specials do you have? Three specials.
Not to brag.
Two and a
half. How many are good?
Two and a half. It's probably. Yeah. I would say that
they're all
each
good.
One has a solid 10.
They're all quite good.
Oh, thanks. Yours is great, too.
Actually, I agree.
Well, everybody, this has been the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast.
This has been. And we will see you guys next time. Goodbye, folks.
Bye, everybody.
Request me back.
I think we got to get you back. We only got half the story.
Spence, that was really fun.
Then we finished it.